Well, hey, good morning, Church of the King, and welcome to COTK Online. So glad you guys are here today. Hey, I'm Josh, if you do not know me. I'm one of the pastors here at Church of the King, and I get the honor today of doing the next message in our series, Life is Good. And today we're going to be talking about how life is good physically, talking about just the physical world around us. And you know, sometimes we've been talking about for the last few weeks how life is good because God is good. But man, it's especially true in the physical world, but sometimes when we look at everything around us, it can be really, really hard sometimes to hold on to that and to believe that life is good when everything else is kind of funky. Especially for us here in Lake Charles, and if you're watching and you're not in Lake Charles, you may not quite understand everything we walk through as a city. I mean, like the rest of the world, we've gone through all the stuff going on with COVID, but we've also, as a city, seen two hurricanes. We've seen the crazy, freaky flash flood, and then we watched all of our old underpowered homes and things that were still destroyed from the hurricane then literally froze out by the crazy freak winter storm. And all the, like, when all these things kind of seem to go on, it can be really hard to go, okay, man, like, we're sitting there starting going, man, God, where are you? Like, yeah, we know life is good, but man, when we see all these things happen, it's tough. And man, it's not just weather either. You can think about things like sickness that impacts our physical life. Man, what happens if our job, our employers, things like that, if those things all of a sudden don't exist anymore, we don't have a job. The stock market, I mean, right now, shoot, we're going through the ups and downs of stock market, and it's a little crazy, or our homes, something can go wrong, our cars, all these different things are all physical world things that we can't control. If we're honest, we also recognize that we really can't. But these real world things tend to have a huge impact on our lives. And so what do we do? And so that's what we're gonna talk about today, is how life is good. By the way, a little side note, as I'm flipping my notes here, today is February 13th, which means that it is about to be Valentine's Day. So for all of you guys who would like your physical life to continue to be good, please make sure to remember your wives. Your thank you, and you can send me thank you notes later on for that. Okay, so here's the thing. Just because, though, things are broken in life doesn't mean that God isn't at work in fixing things. And just because things are shredded and torn apart, like, doesn't mean that God's not good. He is. And so one of my favorite stories, by the way, we're going to look at, if you've been following along in the series, we've been going through the book of Genesis and watching the start of the world and how, and then we follow the family watch the first sin with Adam and Eve, and then we see what happens as we watch Abraham, and then ultimately through Joseph. Last week, Pastor Todd talked about Joseph and our relationships and our emotions. And so now we're going to look at, we're going to catch up with where the Israelites are now in the book of Exodus. But one of my favorite portions of scripture in the Bible is actually a few hundred years beyond this story we're going to talk about today. And it's when God comes to the Israelites. At this point, they have gotten themselves in exile in Babylon. They're actually over, and by the way, you kind of think about things we can't control. We're recording today, and we got guys in the back, like, so if you hear chainsaws or things like that, welcome to Life is Good Physically Edition, where we can't control anything that's physically happening. So ignore that if you hear it. But anyway, so these guys are now, they are now in Babylon. They're in captivity. And God comes to them in Babylon. He says, hey, you know, while you guys are here, this, is, by the way, is in chapter 29. You can go look it up. It's through the prophet Jeremiah. So Jeremiah 29. He says, hey, you guys are going to be here for 70 years. So while you're here, I want you to build homes. I want you to plant gardens. Hey, find, have some families. Marry, have families, find some spouses for your kids, get some grandkids going on. And he talks about how I'm going to multiply you in this place that you're in right now, which was this place of brokenness and exile. This is where they've been sent, basically. They've been kicked out of their country, beaten in battle and destroyed. And God says, hey, in this place of brokenness, I'm going to bless you. And I love that about how God takes things in our world that are so sometimes physically messed up and says, I'm going to bless you and I've got a plan for you in the midst of all this. And so, for me and for our family, before even really getting the message, this has kind of been our life for the last few years, and it really hits home when I read through the notes again for today and just kind of what we're talking about, because I look at our life and the last almost 7 years have been, man, they've been a roller coaster for our family. And some of you guys, if you've been a part of the Church of the King family, you followed our story. And it's been a wild ride. We, a few years ago, we live in south of town and we felt that we were supposed to sell our house. It was a house we'd been in for several years and we loved it. Our kids loved it. It was a little small white trailer house with a little cool addition on the back, and Caleb proudly called it his white house. He loved it. And we really felt like we were supposed to move. And so we put our house up in the market. It sold. And we were literally going to like sign papers on it the week we found the house. We had no idea why we were selling our house. We end up in this finding a home in Sulphur, Carlos area. And we're like, why? Like, it was just, it was a great place, but it wasn't on our radar at all. And so we get there and we're in this home for a few months. And in the process, Kelly begins to have a tremendous amount of pain. And there's just a lot of stuff that's going on with her physically. We have no clue what it is. Well, we come to find out she's got cancer. And so now we're having to spend, we actually over the next, that next year, we would spend almost 10% of our year, well over 30 days, almost 40 days in Houston. And so now we're 45 minutes closer than we ever were before. And so I'm watching a place that we had no idea that we were going. This place of, why are we in Sulphur? It's great. Why are we here? Now becomes the very place that God's like, hey, I put you here for a reason. It's so that you could be closer to where you need to be. And so what was like, what are you doing, God? Now becomes like, oh, I get it. And so I watch as God just used that. And so obviously we went through, for us, what was a season we couldn't control physically. You know, we had multiple surgeries in that time frame, a lot of chemotherapy for Kelly. Beat it once, and then it came back again. Had to do another surgery, beat it that. And so all this has been going on, and we finally get to a spot a few years into this where cancer's gone, the house is great, all this stuff is good. And I just feel like God's stirring us again and puts this place that's come up for sale in front of us. And it was just like, hey, this is where you guys are supposed to be next. And we're like, okay, God, what's up with this? So we do the same thing, sell our house and move to Gillis. And it ends up being a little smaller house. But I watch as God just moves in that whole situation. And then, I mean, you guys know what comes next. Hurricane rips apart our house. And so we're out of a home again. This time we're living in camper trailers. We're living at some people that became wonderful friends in Eunice. We're living in some friend's house in Lake Charles, and just and all this stuff. Everything is physically just crazy. But in all of it, I'm watching just as God has been so good to us. And I look back over these last now almost 7 years, and I'm seeing in these places where have been very, very difficult for our family. Just, it's not easy. And to be honest, we did not know on at least two different occasions if Kelly was still going to even be here. We had one doctor, and so they had to put a stent in her colon early on in the process. And when they went in to, they were getting prepared to do a surgery on her colon to remove where the cancer started. And so when they went to go prepare for that surgery, the doctor that had originally put the stent in forgot to mark in the colon where he put it. So we had to go back in and get this tattooed. So I gave my wife a hard time about having a tattoo. So, because she's just, not, that wasn't her. So I'm like, ooh, baby, you getting a tattoo? And so we go in, and the doctor, after he does this, he asks Kelly how it's been. And she said, well, it's been fine. I haven't had any problems with the stent. And he says, okay, that's great. He goes, I've just never had one in this long. And so we realized that when he had come in and he had put the stent in her for this period of time that we were going through the chemo and everything else, he didn't anticipate her living more than 6 months, which is about how long we were at. And so we recognized that even the doctors at that point were like, man, we don't think she's going to make it. And so I watched these last few years, seven now almost. And I mean, by the way, for like the last, even in the last year, we found out back in February of last year, she had cancer again. And so, and it was all over again. And so we had to go through the treatments and now like just God's been so good and she's cancer free again for the third time. But I'm watching just in these places that have been very difficult for our family emotionally and everything else, just how God has blessed us. He's had people around us that have helped us out financially. People have brought meals. And if you've been one of those people that have brought meals or helped us out, man, you guys have no idea what a blessing that has been. And so in this place that has been challenging, has been broken, has been also very, really awesome. And that's how God works. And I'm watching now in some of the decisions that we made a few years ago and things that we chose to do and places that we trusted God, where I'm beginning to watch these things start to develop. And I'm going, oh, God, now I get it. I didn't see it then, but I'm getting it now. And I'm watching as we're putting our home back together post-hurricane. I'm going, man, the house we had over here is which was awesome, this one's going to be even better. And the situation we had here, well, this is going to be even better. And Kelly was sick before now. And so all these different things I'm watching. And I'm reminded, it's one of the three scriptures we've had throughout this whole series, which is Romans 8:28. Now, we know that God works all things together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And so before I get in the rest of the message, I just want to, like, wherever you guys are at, man, God is at work. And just because stuff is broken, like, he's at work. He is at work. So anyway, that's kind of our story. I'm going to jump in real quick, and we're going to go through the next part of the message here pretty fast. But man, just be encouraged. So here's three biblical truths about God and you, and really kind of about our physical world. The first thing is this, that God sees you where you are. Like, this is huge. God sees you where you are. So this week your reading's been in Exodus, and so if you are going through one of our small groups and you have our devotional guide, Exodus 3 and the book of Ruth are there. Also, I encourage you to read the first couple chapters of Exodus as well, and you get a little backstory. But when we catch up with the Israelites, they are now in Egypt. Joseph has brought his family, if you remember last week, into Egypt. And God used Joseph to save Egypt and the entire world at that point from famine because of a dream that God gave him. And God, in that, heals Joseph's relationship with his brothers. Well, they've been in Egypt now for almost 400 years. And in doing so, they became very, very large. Well over a million people now were this family of Israel. And so while they're there, at one point, the Pharaoh gets so concerned about all these Israelites, he ends up turning them into slaves. He goes, hey, we got to do something with these guys. This is a real problem. And so he enslaves them. So while they're in slavery, it gets really bad. And I love, in the end of chapter 2, God says, oh, I see them. It's time to act. And if you look even again, by the way, one of the things that happens too in the midst of all this is there's a guy named Moses, which we all know. Most of us do. If you don't know it, go read the story. But Moses is raised in the house of Pharaoh. He's an Israelite who was pulled from the Nile. His family, like, hid him and they put him in the Nile River. The princess of Egypt, the Pharaoh's daughter, grabs him out of the water and says, I'm going to raise this kid as my own. And she does. And so Moses grows up in the house of Pharaoh, treated like one of Pharaoh's sons. He ultimately sees an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, and he steps in, intervenes, and acts, and ends up killing the Egyptian. So Moses has to go run and hide for his life, and he travels to a whole other part of the world. He basically he gets on and he hightails it out of there. Years go by. He's got a family now. He's in the backside of the desert, herding sheep, and God shows up in the burning bush. And I'm looking at this, and what God does is he, you know, if you look in Exodus 3. Look real quick. So he sees this burning bush. He walks over there. God introduces himself. But then in verse 7, God says this. The Lord says to him, I've certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I've heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. And yes, I'm aware of their suffering. So God saw where they were at. But not only did he see where they were at, he saw where Moses was at. God tracked down Moses. Moses wasn't where the rest of them were. He was like, hey, Mo, I know where you're at, bud. I'm coming all the way over there to get you because I've got a purpose for your life. And so wherever you're at, maybe you're in a spot where you're like, I feel like I'm a slave. I'm getting beat down. Life sucks right now. Or maybe you're like Moses and you're hiding out. God sees right where you are. The second thing is that God has a place for you. God has a place for you. And I love what he says to Moses. He goes, hey, look, in verse 8, he says, I've come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians. And then he says this, I'm going to lead them out of Egypt. I'm going to bring them to their own fertile and spacious land. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. God has a place for us. And sometimes part of God's place, I will say this, is not just the end, but part of God's place is also that journey in between all that. But God has a place for us. And so he sees where we're at and he knows where we are, but he also knows where he wants to take us. And that's not always a physical place, although that's what we're talking about today. But God has a place for us. And then the last thing is God has a people for you. And the other reading for this week is in the book of Ruth. And I love the book of Ruth. It's a story of a woman who is a Moabitess, and she marries a Israelite man who ends up dying. And she follows her mother-in-law back to Israel and becomes part of the family in a sense. But there's a spot in this where Naomi, which is Ruth's mother-in-law, says to her, hey, go back to your family. Like, go get a husband over there. Stay in Moab. Don't come back with me. But Ruth says this. She goes, hey, don't ask me to leave you and turn back, because wherever you go and wherever you live, I'm going to go. I'm going to live. You'll be my people. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. And so the great thing about God is he sees where we're at. He has a place for us. But so much of those things are tied into the people that God wants to place into our life. And God has people for you. God didn't design you to do life alone, especially in this physical world. And so God has people for you. And man, if I look back and I go, these last few years, it has been the people, because my family's not around here. My brother is now, but like my family's a long way away. And so to have my church family be so close is huge. All right, so last three things on how to find your place. Talking again about how life is good physically. I will say this, life is good when you know your place. And by the way, place is not, again, I said it before, it's not just the destination, it's that whole journey along. And being in God's place is being right in the middle of where he wants us to be. And that goes to faith. So the first thing is, when we want to know how to find our place, we got to take the leap of faith. We got to take that step out of faith and follow God. I love, by the way, the movie of Indiana Jones when he's searched for the, not Raiders of the Lost Ark, The Last Crusade, when he's going to find the Holy Grail, a cup that Jesus supposedly drank out of at the Last Supper. And so he's sitting there and he's at the spot where there's this huge chasm. He's like, how do I get across? And the whole thing was about taking this step of faith. And so he's like, I don't know. And so he just finally steps out over what looks like to be this huge chasm. And when he does, he realizes there's a ledge right there. And sometimes that's how our journey is with God. When he calls us into something, we're like, Lord, this doesn't make any sense. What are you doing? Like, what are you saying, God? This is crazy. Like, you want me to do what? Man, trust him. Take that leap of faith. I look back and even just our move first to Sulphur was one of those kind of moments for us where I was like, God, what are you doing? Like, we love our little house. Like, we love our place. We love everything about it. Like, why would you move us to another place that's a little bigger, but not much? I've got more work to do over at the new place. Like, why would you move? And then to sit back and go, oh, I get it. It put us into a place where we were able to actually, man, I can't imagine how it would have been having another 45 minutes each way in that drive to Houston. It would have been very difficult. God knows what he's doing. So, man, take that leap of faith. Trust him. And James, talking to the church, James says, hey, what good is it, brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but you don't show it by your actions? We can talk a good talk sometimes, but when God says, hey, I want you to do this, or I want you to trust me with your job, I want you to trust me with this next move, I want you to trust me with your kid, I want you to trust me with this decision or that decision, man, that's where the rubber meets the road, when our faith has to take action. That's when it meets the road. He said, that kind of faith, he says, if you say you have faith but you don't show it by your actions, that kind of faith can't save anyone. Suppose you see a brother or a sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, hey, goodbye, have a good day, stay warm and eat well, but you don't do anything, you don't give that person any food or clothing, what good does that do? So you see, faith by itself is not enough unless it produces good deeds. It's dead and useless. And so our faith is really truly faith when it becomes an action. So take that leap of faith. The next thing in finding our place is staying the course. And that really is just following God. Like, there are things I look back and I go, at the time when we made our decision, we ended up going for Kelly's treatment to Baylor. And at the time, so many people around us were saying, hey, you need to go to MD Anderson. And MD Anderson is awesome. It's the place to be. And so we had made an appointment to get into MD Anderson, but there was all sorts of challenges with insurance and different stuff like that. And we were just all these different things. And then one friend of ours, a doctor friend, says, hey, have you considered Baylor? And I'm like, no. And so it was a phone call and talked to them and they said, come on up. And it literally, we had already been in hospital for 5 days getting treatment and everything like that by the time we would have had our first appointment with MD Anderson. And I just watched as those connections, that one decision of staying that course and going, okay, God, like, what do we do? Trusting him and then walking that out. Man, it was huge. So you gotta stay the course. You gotta follow. I love what Galatians 6:19, this is the Apostle Paul. And he says this, hey, let us not get tired of doing what is good. at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we do not give up. And so many times when we're walking out these things in life, man, we get right up to that edge and we just, it's like we just give up. There's a study done. It's kind of a tragic study, I guess. It's if you are a lover of rats, but if you hate rats, like my grandmother, she probably celebrates this study. But there was a guy who took these rats and he put them into a jar of water. It's pretty terrible. And he wanted to see how long they would last. And so most rats, as they were swimming, they would ultimately give up and drown at around 15 minutes. And so what they did is they took them out and they put them back in, or put new guys now, put the new guys in the water, and they'd let them do their swimming thing. And then right before that 15-minute mark, they go in, they pull them out. They'd dry them off and give them a little break. And then a little later, they'd come back and they'd put them back in the water again. And these guys wouldn't last for 15 minutes. Most of them lasted for another 2 days. They kept swimming beyond what they thought they could. And so for so many of us, we give up right before our point of rescue. We give up way before it's time. And the good news is God's going to pull us out of the water. But don't give up. Don't give up. And he really is going to pull you out of the water. He's not going to. Isn't that terrible? Sorry. If you're a kid at home and you're watching this, I apologize. I should have probably put a disclaimer right there. All right, the last thing is this. Make a place for God. Make a place for God. And what that means is this. In every part of our life, in every part of our journey, every part of our physical world, this place that we live in, we've got to make a place for God. So much of what follows after this moment, and we're going to get into some really cool stuff next week when we talk about how God, life is good financially, and how God blessed the Israelites, even in their place of slavery. But what's really cool is that most of the book of Exodus begins to take place in this journey. We follow these Israelites through this journey, but what they did along this journey is they made a place for God. You look in Exodus 40, they built this thing called the tabernacle, and this was the place where they would offer their sacrifices, a place they made literally in the middle of their life, in the middle of the camp for God. It says, then a cloud covered the tabernacle, and the glory of the Lord had filled the tabernacle. Moses could no longer enter the tabernacle because the cloud had settled over it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Now, whenever the cloud lifted up, the cloud was God's physical presence there. When it lifted up the tabernacle, the people of Israel would set out on the journey following it. But when the cloud did not rise, they just remained until it lifted up. The cloud of the Lord hovered over the tabernacle during the day, but at night a fire glowed on the inside of the cloud so that the whole family of Israel could see it. And this continued throughout all of their journeys. Here's the thing. We're on a journey, each and every one of us. And if your physical place right now seems like not good, there may be some physical things about it that aren't good, but I'm going to tell you, God is still good. And even in that place where things are difficult, he's going to make it good if we will trust him. Again, Romans 8:28, all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So in this season, wherever you're at, when you're walking through these difficult seasons, we've got to make a place for God, a tabernacle for him in our life throughout this journey. There is a destination someday, and that destination is not here on this earth. We have a home in heaven for those of us that love the Lord, for those that follow Jesus. We have a home in heaven, and that's our ultimate place. And someday, all these troubles of this world will be gone. But right now, here in this earth, we're on a journey. And so in the middle of this journey, I've got to make a place for God. And what's amazing to me is I look back, and I look at the places in our journey as a family where we've made a place for God. God's done some crazy stuff. And in points of our brokenness, where things are really difficult for us, God's using us to minister to people. And I'm going, God, how is this even possible? It's because this, when you make a place for God, God makes a place for you. And it's a good place. And even like, look what he did with the Israelites. He literally just, he had a physical cloud there. And then at night, he just glowed. He's like, hey guys, I'm here. I'm here. I got y'all. I'm here. And so wherever you're at in this journey, I want you to know that God design your physical world to be good. There may be aspects of it that may not be going so good. You may be walking through sickness right now. You may be walking through marriage issues, through divorce. You may be walking through problems with your kids. You may have just lost your job. You may be like us and still trying to get our house put back together post-hurricane. You may be all sorts of different physical things. But even in physical things that are maybe not going the way we want them to, God is still good, and he is working all those things for your good. I want to pray for you. And my prayer first is just that you would, number one, just know that God loves you. And the second thing, that He's got a purpose in the midst of all this. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank You so much, Lord, for Your goodness towards us, that, Lord, You loved us so much. God, I thank You that even in the craziness we see around us, and God, and all that our city has gone through, all that our families have gone through over these last 2 years, Lord, what a wild ride for our city, for our region. God, I thank You that You are still good. And Lord, I pray just as our church family, those that are here today watching, you know, those that will watch later, God, You see where we're at, and we just say thank You for seeing us. God, thank You for seeing us. Thank You that You have a place for us and You have a people for us. And God, that You desire to connect us to those that would help us to walk with You and walk together. God, I pray just that You would bring life and encouragement to every single person that's watching today. God, that they would be reminded of how much You love them, and God, that You are making all things good. And I just bless them in the name of Jesus. Amen. You guys have a great week, and we will see you back next week when Pastor Todd will be sharing our next part. Have a good one.